discover personally how the Word of God can affect a change in your life through the ministry of Apostle E.A. Ajay. Apostle E.A. Ajay is the founder and pastor of Devotional Light Church. He is also the founder of the Jesus the Answer campaign and an author of several best-selling books. Devotional Light Church is a vibrant church with people full of first love for the Lord. Now listen to E.A. Ajay.
So I've come only to tell you and give you a message that we are here for His glory. No other but for His glory. And I've come to tell you that you are special. If you didn't know it already, you are very, very, very special. The specialness in you is as a result of God. He made you. He has chosen to love you. He will lead you and He protects you all to His glory. For I've come to tell you, Devotional Light Church, that you are a chosen generation. It is not by chance that you are here. God has chosen you. He has called you. He created you. And He is here with you. Amen. Amen. So I want us to read 1 Peter 2, 9 to 10, where the Word of God will speak to us so that we will know that we are truly special, that we are chosen.
Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 to 10. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Amen.
Amen. So the scripture is clearly saying to us, each and every one of us, that we are indeed God's chosen people. It is not by chance. Because everything you do, you've made a choice to do it. Even coming here today, you made a choice to do it. It was for a purpose. And when you have chosen something, it is for a particular reason. Because we are special. We are very, very special to God. And we are, as it says there, God's people. His word is speaking to us. And we are to proclaim His praises, for He has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Because I don't know any one of you here that can see in the dark. And as you are walking around, let's say you've woken up in the middle of the night, generally, if you don't put the light on, you end up hitting yourself. Either you knock yourself on the bed or you walk into the cupboard, whatever it is, you cannot see in the dark. So this is a great, great word for us, that God has called us out of darkness. For in the darkness, accidents happen. Evil happens in the darkness. Wickedness, deceit, all happens in the darkness. For the world is dark, but we have been called out into His marvelous light. For there's many things that take place in the dark. And so it is a blessing for us that we walk in God's word, that we are able to walk in God's word and see where it is we are going. For He's leading us. For His word is a lamp unto our feet. And as we walk with God, we walk in the light, that all the issues of the world, all the problems of the world, it is minus us in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So we are to praise Him and give Him all of the glory, for we have been made to give Him the glory, for He is a great God. He is a wonderful God and a loving God, and we praise His almighty name and we give Him all the glory, for you are special. If you don't believe it, I'm telling you, the word of God is telling you that you are very, very, very special to God. You are a special treasure. You are valuable. You are precious, of great worth above all peoples on this earth. Above all peoples on this earth, you are special. So how do we look after our valuables? Those of you who have got diamonds, those of you who've got nice jewelry, nice car, do you just give it to anybody? Do you let anybody use it? No. even if you do give your valuable out to somebody, it comes with regulations, it comes with rules, it comes with many things, do's and don'ts. And you must bring it back in one piece because it's valuable. You know, so you are looked after. How much more God? These things, these materialistic things that we have that are special to us, that are valuable, we spend good money on it. You know, there's some people that have trainers that are special to them. God forbid you should ever step on that trainer. Oh, problems. Because the trainer is valuable to them. To us, many of us adults, the fact that you paid, I don't know, Balenciaga people, how much, please? Hey! £500 for a pair of trainers. It must be very valuable to you to spend that amount of money that's going to be put on the floor. Dirty, the dirty floor you're walking. People have spat on it on all sorts. £500, you are walking on the floor with a material that costs £500. That material must be very special for you. And if anybody drops a drink on it, if anybody steps on it, there'll be problems because it costs £500. It is valuable. And so it is taken care of. If it's raining, I've seen somebody in this church, their shoes were so precious, valuable, that it was raining outside and they tied plastic bags around their foot and went outside because they didn't want the valuable shoe to get dirty or wet in the rain because it's valuable. How much more God, as we are His chosen people. We are special to God. God Almighty that made this earth, that created each and every one of us, all the animals, the sea that never comes on land, only for particular reasons, and then goes back. Earthquakes that mankind still cannot control. God Almighty created those. The volcano that comes out of the mountain that mankind still cannot control. How much more God Almighty, who has created us as His chosen people. We are valuable people. Receive it that you are valuable. Know it that you are valuable. Walk in it that you are valuable. That you are chosen by God. That you are special. Do not take it lightly. Hallelujah. And all to God's glory, not for ours. All for God's glory. And as we hear the word of God, it will become even clearer to us that it is for God's glory. We are to glorify His holy name and praise His almighty name. In Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. So, in Deuteronomy 14:2, if you could do... New King James, please. It is highlighted again that we are special, a special treasure. Every word in the Bible is to teach us. We are not to take any word in the Bible lightly. So every single word is there that it is to enter into us. And we are to know it. We are to believe it. We are to walk in it because it is the word of God. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 2. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God, and the Lord has chosen you to be a people for Himself. A
special treasure is written there. Amen. A special treasure. When I was growing up, I used to read these stories about people going on treasure hunts and things like that. They will do all sorts of things for these treasures. What mankind calls treasure, God does not call it a treasure. Well, He created it. These precious stones, metals, and so on. It's not a treasure to God. But we, us human beings that God created, the master that created this whole earth, we human beings, flesh and blood, and the spirit inside us, we are the special treasure. The very special treasure above, please continue.
A special treasure above all the peoples who are on the face of the earth.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we are above all the other peoples who are on the face of this earth. So we have God's people. God's chosen people, God's special people, and we have the other people. Who are those other people? None of us. We praise the Lord.
Amen.
So let's learn about who the other people are, who are not chosen by God, who are not special, who are not his special treasure, but there are other people. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So there are those without faith. Hebrews 11:6. There are those without faith. Without faith, you can't do anything with God.
Amen.
Without faith, you need faith.
Amen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him.
Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So there are those without faith. These are the other people. It is minus us in Jesus' name. Those who have faith, who believe in God, who please him. How do you please God? You please God by obeying every one of his word. By following his word. How do you follow his word? Well, you have to read the word in order to follow it. If you don't read the word, you can't follow it. And so, you cannot please God. And then, you are without faith. We pray, may this never be any of our portion in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And also, for he who comes to God must believe that he is. Hallelujah. And that he is a rewarder. A rewarder of those who diligently seek him. How do you diligently seek God? You read his word. You come and you fellowship. You pray. Hallelujah. And you follow every word of God. Or you'll be without faith. We don't want to be that. May no one in Devotion Light Church be one of those people who are not chosen by God, who are without faith. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Those, we continue, who are the people of the earth who are not chosen by God. Those that have devoted themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons. 1 Timothy 4:1. There's many people in the world. There are those who are out of faith. There are those who do not seek God. And they are seeking other things that are demonic spirits or other things that take them away from God. They use them as their idols. So money can be your idol. If you are seeking money, you are following money, you are not following God. Hallelujah. Sorry, 1 Timothy.
1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Amen.
We thank God for this word. These are the other people. There are some here. We are in the latter days. And there are some already in the world that are moving away from the faith. They're departing from the faith. They're being deceived. And they're leaving God. Some have already left and some never came.
Maybe.
However, they are giving heed. They are following deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Unexpectedly, they don't even know they have been deluded. And they don't know what it is they are doing. But they believe that they're following the truth. There are others that know they're not following the truth. But because of the benefits they believe that they're receiving in this world, they continue to do it. However, there is life after death. They haven't given thought to that. We thank God that it is none of us. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. And then there are the carnal people. They do not accept all the things of God. They are which are discerned spiritually. So there are those who are just fleshy. They do what they want to do. But the word of God, they know what the word of God is. But still it's like, well, as for me, you know, yeah, I'm not ready yet. However, those people are not of God. Those people are not glorifying God. Those people are the people who are not God's people, because you are not following the word that the Lord has put before you. And so you do the things that you want to do. You are led by your flesh and not by the Spirit. Then we have those who do not love one another. Oh dear. John 13:35. Those who do not love one another. For we are to love one another. That is the greatest command. When the people asked, the Pharisees asked Jesus, what is the greatest command? He said, love one another. Love one another. It's important that we love one another. A very, very, very important command.
Amen. Hallelujah. John chapter 13, verse 35. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another.
You must love one another. Amen. And not the love of the world, but the love that we know in the Bible, that you are to be kind, you are to be patient, you cannot be self-seeking, you must not dishonor, you cannot be envious. You are to love one another, because that is the command. There are laws that govern this earth. And if you read the Bible, you will know the rules, because the Lord God Almighty made the world and his laws are in his book. So we are to love one another, because those who do not love are not God's chosen people. These are the other people of the earth, minus us, in Jesus' mighty name. May each and every one of us know what it is to love, and may we love one another in Jesus' name. Amen. And all this, the people of God, when you do these things, you are glorifying God. When you love God, when you love people, you are glorifying God. Because you can't love people and do bad towards them. When you love people, you share, you protect them. When you love people, you say good things over their lives. You don't wish evil for them. When you love people, you have time for them. When you love people, you show it towards them. You give presents where you can give presents. You have time to go and speak to them or attend their functions because you love them. You're showing love. Love covers a multitude of sins. Your children, some of you who have children, some of the way that they behave, the way they talk back, the way they don't listen, they give it the eye. And you're wondering, where, how, what, where has this come from? But because of the love you have for that child, the beatings that you would have given the child, you held back. And you said, Father, Lord God Almighty, help me today. Please touch this child, that this child will hear my voice and obey. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So love. The love that we have for our children, we are to have the same love for everybody. We are to love. We are to show love. We are to show kindness. We are to show mercy. For we are God's people. And when you show love towards others, you are glorifying God. It is to God's glory. Because without God in our lives, it is difficult to love the unlovable. For there are people that is very hard to love, unfortunately. You know, they say all sorts of things. They behave in certain ways. You phone them, they don't call you back. You send them a text, they don't respond. All sorts of things. There are many, many people in this world that are difficult to love, but we are to love them. We are to love them. We are not to desire evil for them, even though maybe there are some people that desire evil for us, but we are not to do the same back to them. Why? We are a chosen people. We are special, and we are to glorify God. We are not a part of the world. We are not a part of the world. We are in it, but we are not a part of the world. We have been set apart, chosen by God to his glory. But if we behave as the world, if we do what they do, if we follow what they do, then we are not set apart. We are just the same. We just say hallelujah, hallelujah, and nothing. Your behaviors hasn't changed. You are not following the word. You are doing what you desire, carnal. But we pray, may that be minus us, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. and you also who are online. In Jesus' name. We also have unbelievers. Mark 16:16. There are those who just don't believe. They're saying, yeah, I've heard about the word of God, but there's always a but. Yes, you know, I believe there's someone that created the universe, but. Yeah, I know there's a higher power, but. And they just stick with their own understanding rather than going to seek and find out. Because the word is not hidden. The Bible is there. The word of God is there. And there are people that have been sent to give the word. If you reject the word as it comes, it is down to you. God has sent his people. God has sent his soldiers. God has sent his apostles, his pastors. He has sent evangelists to go out and preach the word. He has sent messages. He will not leave you alone in this world. He will guide you. It's up to you whether you will take on that message or not and be a believer and be chosen by God, his special people, his special treasure. Hallelujah. Please read it.
Mark chapter 16, verse 16. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So the word is clear. There are those who do not believe, and you will be condemned as the word says, because we know there is life after death, and you are to believe every word of God, and you are to follow every word of God. Those who pick and choose, you're picking and choosing what goes right in your life and what doesn't go right in your life. Because there are things that cannot be changed. God's word is one and it cannot be broken. And as the word has been sent forth, it will only go forth and accomplish what God has set it to accomplish. He will not change the scriptures for you. So you are to believe every word of God and follow every word of God. Because as you follow the word of God, you are being transformed. You are no longer that person that is moved by anything that you hear around you. You have the Spirit of God in you, and the Spirit of God guides you. That the wisdom that will come upon you, you cannot buy it. You cannot buy it. To solve problems, how to relate to people, how to navigate your way around this world where it's full of unbelievers, those who are opposers of God. You'll be amazed that as you walk in the word, how the word transforms you. For you are not to lean on your own understanding, but it is God's Spirit that will touch each and every one of you and guide you to do that in accordance with his purpose. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, so we have cowards. Revelation 21:8.
Amen. Revelation 21:8. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Amen.
Amen. So there's a list there. I focus on cowards, but there's many more there, as you can see. And these people are not God's chosen people. You are not God's chosen people. So some we already know. You can't be a murderer and be God's chosen people person. You cannot be his special treasure because you are not to take a life. However, it is cowards also. If you are a coward, being a coward is okay, you know. It really isn't, because the word is there. It's there for you to see. You are not to be a coward because God hasn't given us the spirit of timidity. The spirit of fear is not from God. But we are to be strengthened by his spirit and do the things that we've been commanded to do, despite some of the anxieties or fears that may go in your mind. Because you are to pray against those, that they will not overtake you, but you will walk in courage and do that which God has commanded you to do in Jesus' name. All to his glory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Liars also are up there. Liars, those who are still struggling with lying. You think it's a small thing, but you'd be surprised how lying can open certain doors that can cause certain issues that you would never even think of. It is important that all of the list that you see there, the cowardly, the unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all, notice I said all liars. So those, there's some lies that people deem as white lies, as in, it's only a small one. A lie is a lie. If you are a liar, you do not glorify God. It is not to God's glory. So you are to be aware that when you tell lies, small lies, big lies, medium lies, a lie is a lie. And you are to pray to God that God will guide you and he will help you. He will strengthen you that you will no longer carry the spirit of lying. And that you will tell the truth at all times. For the truth will set you free in Jesus' name. Amen. So we are to glorify God, Devotion Light Church, for choosing us, for bringing us from darkness into light. We have been made specifically to glorify God. Isaiah 43:7. Specifically to glorify God. Because what separates us from the rest of the world is to be able to have that self-control. That self-control to sit down and read the Word of God. That self-control that rather than staying in bed, because sometimes you might get up, you might be tired, and you think, you know, I don't really want to go to church today. I think I'll just stay in bed. And something says to you, the Holy Spirit, get up, come on, go. And you get up and you go, you make the effort. And every time you come, you're never disappointed. Never. You say, oh, I'm so glad I came today. You know, I was really thinking about not coming, but I'm glad I came. Because God always has a message for you. He knows everything before you've even asked him for it. So he knows the thoughts that are going through your mind. And so he knows, okay, right now, this sister, this brother, he needs a bit of prompting today. Because he's thinking, there's doubt coming into his mind that he may think that going to church is not important. Or right today, I can miss church. But as you go, you realize, oh, I was so glad I came. Because something would have touched you that day. Something would have spoken to you that day. That day was definitely the day that you were meant to come, that the enemy didn't want you to come. And so that's why we are to have self-control, because the enemy is cunning. The enemy will use all sorts of schemes and tactics and strategies to fool you, for he is a deceiver. And so you are not aware that the fact that you were feeling sluggish that day was as a result of whatever the enemy has sent in your direction. And that he knew that when you came today that you were going to receive a powerful message that was going to change your life. Or you were going to be prayed for that day. And as you were being prayed for that day, everything that was a bondage on your life was broken, was going to be broken. Because the enemy is scheming. And you are to have the self-control to do the things you are supposed to do, to get up and come to church where you will meet your Almighty Father, who has got a message for you, who has a purpose for you, because you are his chosen treasure, valuable to him, extremely valuable to him. And so when you subdue your flesh, and you know, it's important to go and hear the word of God. It's important to come and fellowship. It's important to be with my brothers and my sisters. Then you know that you are walking with God, that you are no longer a slave to the enemy, that the enemy cannot fool you, that the enemy cannot use schemes and tactics to come up against you. Because now you know that I am chosen. I am special. I am a treasure. And I am to glorify God. So I won't be lazy. I won't lie down in bed. I will get up and go to where I'm supposed to be in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Amen. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 7. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed him. Yes, I have made him. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory. It is for God's glory that we have been created. It is for God's glory, and we are called by his name. You are called by his name as you read the word, as you walk in the word, as you pray and call upon the Father, as you follow every word that has been written. You are called by his name, and you are being created for his glory and no other. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So, he's created everything. Everything on this earth has been created for God's glory. When you go and travel and you look at the rest of the world, even parts of England, when you go far out and you look at the countryside and you look at how beautiful nature is and you say, wow, glory be to God. Those who have been fortunate to swim with dolphins, those who have been fortunate to go to the deep blue sea, and you see as you go, that normally the Caribbean Sea, when you go and you see the shades of blue and the tropical fish that are swimming around your feet, you say, wow, look at this. Glory be to God. When the sun is beating down on you, and that beautiful sun that's coming down on you is giving you vitamin D, you're getting vitamins, you're being nourished. And when people see you, say, wow, you've been on holiday, you say, glory be to God, because your skin is glowing, your skin is shining, there's stars twinkling on your skin after you've been in the sun. When you travel, if you just stay in your surroundings, that's all you will see. But when you travel and you go around and you see the beaches and you see the beautiful trees with the fruits coming off it and you hear the noises of nature, you think, wow, glory be to God. Every animal under the sun, every single tree that gives us oxygen, every single thing you see, all the nature, the circle of life that we see is all to the glory of God. Because man has not succeeded in creating any of it so far. None of it. And everything we see has been made for God's glory. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And what a magnificent, beautiful world that we have got here. Hallelujah. So how was God glorified? In the Bible has been written to teach us. And so we know that we are to read the Bible and learn from it and be taught. How do we glorify God? Please read 1 Samuel 17, 4 to 8. New King James, if you can, please. And so through what happened to David, we know that we are to glorify God. For David glorified God. David was just a shepherd boy. You know, no one saw him as anything great. But he achieved great, 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 great things that men that had been trained to do this couldn't do it. Please read.
Amen. 1 Samuel 17, verses 4 to 8. And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze.
One second there.
Amen.
So, to give you the bigger picture, this is a champion. Yeah, obviously, he's accomplished things. He's a champion. And he went out from the camp of the Philistines. His name was Goliath. His height was 6 cubits. Now, 6 cubits is about 9 foot. Huge. Huge man. Yep. Not only that, if you continue to read.
And he had bronze armor on his legs and a bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels, and a shield bearer went before him.
Thank you.
Amen.
So, not only was he a huge giant, even his presence alone would make most of us run. He came out fully geared up with armor. Plenty, plenty, plenty metal around him, sword. This giant has been trained to kill God's people. He's come. And this small boy is there to fight this giant. Please continue.
Amen. Then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, "Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me." Amen.
Amen. So we can see that this is no small challenger. This is no small soldier that's coming there, threatening God's people that nobody wanted to go and fight.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And so, he was adorned with the finest battle equipment. He came out prepared to defeat all who would ever come and stand before him. And he repeated this for 40 days. That's how confident he was. He just like every day come out and nobody would come and fight him. And no challenges came forward until David heard. Please read 1 Samuel 17:32. David, who was a man of prayer. David, who sought God. David, who knew that God was with him and glorified God. David, who was not full of flesh, was not carnal, but was spiritual and sought God in everything that he did and was successful. Where others had failed, he did not fail.
Amen.
He was a winner. He was an overcomer. He was a man after God's own heart. Hallelujah. May
Amen.
We also be people after God's own heart. Hallelujah. May we see David as an example and may we follow in David's footsteps. Hallelujah. That we too will please God. That we too will glorify God in all of our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 32. Then David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Amen.
Amen. So David, I mean, if I saw a giant, I don't know how I'd react if I was being sent. I saw people not going out to fight. Maybe I would be like one of the other Israelites that were there to battle, but were too afraid of being defeated and so would not go out. Would you have the courage like David to go forward and say, "Oh, all these great men, all these great men that have been trained from very, very young, years of training, they don't want to go. And me, I've got no training, but you know, I have God. God's spirit is with me. The same God that delivered me from the lion, the same God that helped me defeat the bear, the same God that has helped me to be successful will help me today. And I will defeat the giant in Jesus' mighty name to the glory of God. Hallelujah. Amen. So, amen. So, he was inexperienced. He was a shepherd boy. He was not afraid, but he wanted to go and defeat the Philistines. He wanted to go and fight for God, to be used by God. Was he relying on his own strength? Was he relying on his own wisdom? Was he relying on his own knowledge, his own skills? No, he relied on the Spirit of God, who led him and delivered him in an impossible situation. For us, we will sit and say, "Oh, this is impossible. You might as well give up now." But it was an impossible situation. But God, who is faithful, who wins battles, he fights our battles for us. David went as a vessel of God and he was triumphant in the mighty name of Jesus. May you all be triumphant in all that you do in Jesus' mighty name to the glory of God. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel 17:33. So sometimes the spirit of fear can come upon us because we feel like, you know, "Oh, this situation is just too great for me. I can't do it." No, you can't do it, but God can.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You just need to seek God. And
That's
when
right.
you seek God, Know that when this situation turns for your favor, when this situation works out well for you, glory be to God, because it wasn't by your strength. It was God who intervened, and God made a way for you, and you were victorious in Christ. Hallelujah.
1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 33. And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth."
Amen. Amen. So hearing that, Saul, who's the king, he's saying to him, "You can't go. You're a small boy. How can you go and fight this big trained giant, this Philistine? How? You have no training, no skills, nothing." But yet David said, continue please, 34, and then continue to 37, please.
Amen. 17:34 to 37. But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose again, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God."
Amen. Amen. And so his trust was in God. His trust was not in his ability to fight. His trust was not in the armor or the swords that Saul was giving him to fight with. His trust was in God. His faith was in God. And to God's glory, he was victorious. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
So now by David having that faith in God, by David going forwards despite the odds, there was nobody on David's side. Nobody thought that David was going to go and win. In fact, I'm sure they're thinking, you know, let him go. It's better than one of us going and dying. So let him go. I don't believe that they'll be thinking, oh, if we send him, he's going to be victorious. He's going to slay this giant and we are going to win. Not at all. I am sure they're thinking, well, okay, someone's got to go. You go. And so David went, trusting in God. And also highlighting the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he would deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. Amen. First Samuel 43:46. So we are to learn greatly from David. We are to learn that we are not to fear. We are to learn that circumstances will arise and we will be dismayed, but we are not to be dismayed. We are to know that there are times when we cannot see the light at all at the end of the tunnel. There are times when we just don't know what to do. And we thank God for the testimonies that we had here today, because sometimes we don't know what to do, but God will send helpers. Hallelujah. God will make a way where there is no way. All we have to do is seek him, and then we will find him. And when we seek him, we find him, we trust in him, we believe. God fights our battles for us, and we are to glorify his name. Hallelujah. Please read it.
And 1 Samuel 17:43-46. So the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?"
So even the Philistine is thinking, this small boy, what? Do you know who I am? I'm great. I'm a giant. I've got all this armor on, all this sword. I've been trained. And you're sending this boy with sticks to come and fight with me. Really? So I think he felt disrespected. You know, he was expecting a big soldier to come and be there to fight against him. You know, a warrior, you know, with glory, with honor. However,
and the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field."
So he's speaking with confidence. Look at what he's saying. He's even cursed him by his gods, his lesser gods that are no match for God Almighty.
That's right.
He is speaking with great confidence that, yes, the chest is puffed out, you know, because I've defeated so many. I will also defeat you. But he didn't know that this is God's representative. This is God's representative that has been chosen by God. His special treasure. One that God values greatly more than that giant. More than that Philistine. And so God fought the battle. God enabled David to be successful. Please continue.
Amen. Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of
Amen.
Hosts."
Amen. In the Amen. Name of the Lord of the hosts of God, to glorify his name. He didn't say, "I have come here because I am going to fight you and I will beat you." He said, "I've come in the name of the Lord of hosts, of the Lord of God." That is Amen. Who he came in. He didn't come with his own strength. He didn't come with his own skill. He didn't come with his own wisdom. He didn't come with his own knowledge. He came.
Hallelujah.
With in the name of the Lord of hosts. The God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Hallelujah. And so he came in the name of God by stating that he's glorifying God. He's saying, "I'm not here by my own strength, but I am here in the name of God, the God who fights my battles, the God Almighty that no one can defeat, in Jesus' name." Amen. What if David had said, "Oh, this battle is too great for me. I can't do it." Where would the people of Israel, where would God's people be? God needs those who will stand up. God needs those that will trust in him, that you show forth God's glory. For we have been created for God's glory. Isn't this a glorious thing? That David, a small boy, a shepherd boy, went to fight a well-trained army man who is a giant, huge, who has fought many battles and won, slain many people. They've been under his feet. So his chest is big now. And he's thinking, "Oh, no one can beat me." But yet, this story that we are to learn from, David, a small shepherd boy, came and defeated a great army man with great skills to God's glory. Isn't it amazing? Give a clap to God. Hallelujah. So, we are to learn from the word of God. David glorified God. And so did Joseph. Let's read Genesis 41, 39 to 40. So we know that Joseph had many brothers. The brothers didn't like him. They felt like he was, you know, treated special over them. So they decided to get rid of him. They thought that they were doing, great for themselves, but evil towards him. But what they failed to realize is that Joseph had God. God was with Joseph. And so everything they did, it just turned out for Joseph's good. Everything that happened just turned out for Joseph's good. There's nothing that was happening to Joseph that didn't turn out for his good. And it was all to the glory of God. Please read.
Amen. Genesis 41, 39 to 40. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you."
Amen. There's no one as discerning and as wise as Joseph. This is a big kingdom. There's many people there. Joseph is an outsider even. Mm-hmm. He is God's chosen special treasure. And he's come into this land, this Egyptian land, where the Pharaoh is there over the land. And he's not seen none as discerning and as wise as Joseph. It's important to be able to have the discerning spirit. It's important, as we heard in the prayers that were led earlier, that we are to have the discerning spirit. Because with that discerning spirit, you are able to discern good from evil. You are to discern the spirit that's behind certain people and the actions that they are showing towards you. It's important. And it's also important to be wise. For without wisdom, you are a fool. And so nobody wants to be a fool. And so it is important to have a discerning spirit and also to be wise. Hallelujah. Continue, please.
"You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word."
Isn't that amazing?
Amen.
The Pharaoh has put Joseph over his house. Over his house. Isn't that to the glory of God? If he was just a man, an ordinary boy, an ordinary person that just went about living as everybody else lived, would he be set apart? Would he be glorified in this way that he would be promoted? Yes. Promoted. Amen. To be over the Pharaoh's house and all of the people shall be ruled according to your word.
Yes.
Isn't that to the glory of God? That is an amazing promotion. Clap for God that we've been privileged to read this word. How, in amongst of people who are unbelievers, you can be promoted, that you can be seen as very wise, as discerning, that you can be seen as somebody that can rule and take charge. Hallelujah. Continue, please.
Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you. Amen.
Amen. So in everything else, because the Pharaoh has been crowned, it's only because of that. You can't take his crown. But in every single thing else, he is on the same level as Pharaoh. That is what Pharaoh is declaring. Isn't that amazing? It is amazing. It is amazing to read what God can do in your lives. It is amazing to read what God has done in the lives of those who are in the Bible that have been written for us to read and learn from. We are to learn that God Almighty is great, that God Almighty does all things much more and exceedingly above than we can ever think of or imagine, and that God is to be glorified in our lives by our actions, by our words. Everything we do is to glorify God. The strength that we have inside us to say no or to say yes to things, it is to the glory of God. The strength that we have to love those who are unlovable, to love those who love us, it is to the glory of God. Because without God, there's nothing. Amen. So, when we are glorifying God with our lives, it's important that all the things that I mentioned before, that they come into play. Because you've read the Bible, the word is inside you. And with the word being inside you, at that particular moment of time, you recall it. It just comes. So I had an issue. But to the glory of God, it wasn't an issue, but it was an issue. It was an issue for me. I had never experienced anxiety before. I didn't know what anxiety was. But with this issue, I believe it was anxiety because I was sweating. I didn't know what to do. HMRC sent me a letter.
That one's mic drop.
They said, you might owe us some money. Oh. And previously before that, my brother had a tax issue. And when he told me about the tax issue, I said, oh dear, wow. So the tax issue that he had, to the glory of God, he sought help. He came to Apostle. And Apostle guided him through it, prayed for him. And that tax issue, from the hundreds of thousands that it was reduced to less than half that he had to pay, to the glory of God. But even that less than half that he had to pay, I couldn't pay. So I was still shaking. But even though God intervened in my brother's HMRC situation, even the amount that he had to pay, I couldn't pay. So I was shaking. I said, oh. So I went to Apostle. And I said to Apostle, I've received this letter. I don't know what to do. I never even had an accountant. That's how bad things were. I never even had an accountant at that particular time. And he said, oh, as usual, God brings helpers. You just need to pray. He said, oh, I have a pastor. She's an accountant. Speak to her. You don't know. She might be able to help. So I spoke to her, and I told her the situation. She said, okay, bring the letter, and I'll look at it, and then I'll tell you what to do from there. So I brought the letter. And she said, okay, this is what we're going to have to do. She told me what to do, and she said, you may have to pay some money. I didn't want to hear that. I said, oh, pay some money? I don't have any money. What am I going to do? And she said, but, you know, they can also allow you to pay off small, bit by bit. You may not have to pay all of it at once. Still, small. Not at once. This is not what I want to hear. Oh, this is problem. I was shaking. So eventually, the accountant invited me to her house. She said, you know, I don't normally invite people to my house, you know, but, you know, you are with Apostle, so, you know, come in. I said, oh, this is fantastic. I was, where do we go and do this? So we sat down because he needed time to do it. And she said, look, all you're going to do is call them, say that you received this letter, and tell them the truth. At that time, I wasn't in the Lord as I am now. And lying had not left me completely at that stage. All that my mind was flooded with was, don't tell the truth. You can't tell them the truth. If you tell them the truth, you're definitely going to be in trouble. Those are the thoughts that were flooding my mind. And I was terrified. And as I'm sitting there, I'm saying, but the word says, don't lie. But if you don't lie, you're going to get in trouble. You're going to have to pay loads of money. And I just said to myself, you know what? I've come this far. And God has been with me because he's led me to Devotional Light Church. And I have followed everything that I've been led to follow. I've been shown the word. I've been taught how to read the word. I've been taught how to pray. And the word says, don't lie. So don't lie. And so I got on the phone. I phoned them. They asked me a few questions. They asked me about dates. When did this happen? When did that happen? And I just told the truth. And I said, you know what? God is in your hands. Whatever happens is in your hands. Shaking. And the lady on the phone said, okay, thank you. That's the end of our inquiries. Thank you very much. And I was about to start questioning and say, sorry, what do you mean? And then the accountant was like, shh, put the phone down. And I put the phone down and I was in shock. I seriously just sat there. So, is that it? I don't have to pay any money. That's it, no more investigation. She said, no, that is it. I said, glory be to God. Because it could have been that I would have a fine, because the situation could have been that I could have been fined. The accountant said, you can be fined for this situation here. And it turned out that because I told the truth, they already had the dates there. If I had lied about it, that's when the problems would have come on my head. Because she asked me the dates and I clarified the dates. And she said, yes, those are the same ones that she has there. So without me giving the right dates and telling the truth, that's when the problems would have come upon me, which I would not have known about. All I know is that I was supposed to get a fine, but I didn't get a fine. And I glorify God's name for that. Because as a result of telling the truth, as a result of following God's word, it means that I can give a testimony to the glory of God. It meant that God fought my battle. Even though I didn't deserve it, that maybe I deserved a fine, he said, no, in this case, you are my chosen people. You are my special treasure. You are mine. You are called after my name. So I will intervene. And indeed he intervened. I paid absolutely nothing. And from then on, she's become my accountant and guides me all the way with paying what I'm supposed to pay so that I'll never receive another letter from HMRC. Yeah. Hallelujah. So why do some not glorify God? Why do some not glorify God? Matthew 26, 69 to 70.
Amen. Matthew 26, 69 to 70. Now Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him saying, you also were with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied it before them all, saying, I do not know what you are saying. Amen.
So in that situation, they've arrested Jesus already. Now, they're treating Jesus badly, beating him. They're going to crucify him. And one of Jesus' disciples is there, has been with Jesus all this time up until this point where he denied Jesus. The denial was as a result of what the consequences could be if he had said, oh yes, I was one with Jesus. So sometimes we don't glorify God because we feel as though the people on the outside will not accept us, that they will persecute us as they did to Jesus, that they will do wicked things towards us. And we don't want to carry that cross. We don't want to be seen as different. And so we dampen our light inside us and we don't let the glory of God show in us. And we don't stand up and say yes to the things we're supposed to say yes to and no to the things we're supposed to say no to. We blend in. And by blending in, you dampen your light. And you cannot glorify God if you don't let your light shine. So we pray that may none of us deny God in Jesus' name. May God, in the mighty name of Jesus, may his light shine in us. And may it all be to his glory. May people see us and say, yeah, I bet that person's a Christian, you know. Calm. You know, didn't react. Didn't go off on one. You know, it took time, patient. I bet that person's a Christian. All to God's glory. Hallelujah. Please read 72, same scripture, 72. But again, he denied with an oath, I do not know the man.
Amen.
So just highlighting there that Peter denied Jesus three times. It wasn't a one-off, it was a three times. And so we have to be careful that we will not deny God, that we will glorify God in all that we do. Hallelujah. Amen. Luke 22:31-34.
And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. But he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Then he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny me three times that you know me. Amen.
Amen. So your faith can fail. Yeah, your faith can fail. And if your faith fails, then you will not glorify God. You are to make sure that your faith does not fail, that your faith in God will remain, that it will never, ever break in the name of Jesus. Amen. Some are just ungrateful. Sorry to say it. They don't glorify God because they're just ungrateful. They want the glory themselves. You know, God is a great man. Not a man, but God is great. Almighty. Yeah? Great. But there are some, they just want the glory for themselves. Acts 12:20-23. But it's important because God likes his glory. God wants his glory. He has created us for his glory. And so it's important that we make sure that we give God the glory in all things.
Amen. Amen. Acts chapter 12, verses 20 to 23. Now Herod had been very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, but they came to him with one accord. And having made Blastus, the king's personal aide, their friend, they asked for peace because their country was supplied with food by the king's country. So on a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat on his throne and gave an oration to them. And the people kept shouting, "The voice of God and not of a man." Then immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give glory to God. And amen.
So you can be struck if you don't give glory to God. Because it wasn't by that king. If you go back, please. It wasn't by Herod that these things were happening, that the people were praising him for. It was by God. And instead of him saying, to God be the glory, he took all the glory upon himself, only to his demise. So we are to glorify God, for we are to see and read the Bible, that everything in the Bible is to teach us, and it's important that you glorify God. Hallelujah. So, I'm going to have to cut this short because time is running and we are to have communion as well as move forward with the service. So, there are dangers in not glorifying God, but it's important that with every piece of our being, as we live, as we walk, as we speak, we are to glorify God. And we are to bear fruit as Christians, because the fruit that we bear, others in the world will not be bearing it. We will show forth the fruit in our lives as Christians, and that is to the glory of God. John 15, 8.
Amen. John chapter 15, verse 8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples.
Amen. And I pray that may it be the portion of every one of us here, those who are online, every member of Devotion Light Church, that we will bear fruit so that God Almighty will be glorified. Amen. And the last scripture, I'm going to cut to the last scripture, 1 Corinthians 10, 31 to 33.
First Corinthians chapter 10, verses 31 to 33. Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God.
All to the glory of God.
Amen.
Whatever you eat or drink is to the glory of God.
Amen.
Continue.
Give no offense either to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God. Just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved.
Amen. So what we do determines whether others will come to the kingdom of God. Because our behaviors, we either bring people in or we say, oh, they're just like us. What's the point of me coming to church? What glory is in their lives? What fruit are they bearing? They have the same troubles as me and they don't come out of it. They're still doing the same things I'm doing with the same problems. What purpose would I have to come to church? It is only when you see the fruit in others' lives that will make others also come and be saved. For we are to go and glorify God with everything that we do, everything that we say, everything that we speak, how we solve problems and go around problems. We are not to be as those who are of the earth, the people of the earth who are not chosen by God. We are special. We are his special treasure. And every single thing that we do is to be the glory of God. Why? So that others will be saved. Nobody wants to come to a place whereby their struggles, their sorrow, their sadness, there's unhappiness, there's poverty, there's illnesses, strife, contention. We're running away from that. That is the world. But here in God's house, in the kingdom of God, we are to be set apart. We are to do things differently. We are to praise God in all that we do and follow his word, that we will glorify God in all that we do. Because if those who are outside see that we have the same troubles as them, that we are thinking like them, that our mind has not been transformed, and that we are still in the pits of hell, that we are going to destruction, they'll say, well, what's the point? I might as well just do what I'm doing outside, because you're going to church, but I don't see any fruits in your life, and you're going to hell, so I might as well just do what I'm doing and go there with you. God forbid. We are to glorify God. May none of us here be as the world. May we indeed walk in the word of God, that we will show our light, that our light will shine forth brightly, that darkness will not be able to comprehend it, that we will be seen different in how we solve our problems. Challenges come, but we solve them differently because we pray to God and He guides us through it. We don't go blindly in the night, knocking our feet as we're going. Pain comes. Pain comes as you're going around doing things and you don't know what you're doing. You just do it anyhow. But we are people of purpose. We do things with purpose. And as we call upon the Father and we ask for His guidance and His Holy Spirit comes upon us, we are guided through the way that all problems fall away, that all problems are resolved. And as people see that we are people of wisdom, that we are people that are able to do things in the way that it's supposed to be done, they too start to marvel at God's glory. One story before we go, I have to finish this one. At my workplace, we have something that's called Ofsted. They come to inspect you. And to be quite honest, we have lots of inspections anyway. There's always a mountain of work coming. And one lady said to me, I mean, I didn't know that these thoughts were being said, but she said to me, "You're always so calm. What? You know, nothing seems to faze you." At that point, I stopped and thought, oh, that's true. Because others are rushing around, they're stressed, you know, they're complaining about the workload and so on. And I just thought to myself, to God be the glory that I'm seen as somebody who is calm. I'm seen as somebody that nothing phases me, that when problems arise, I say, okay, it'll work out, because I know I'm going to pray. But others are not going to pray. So they're full of fear, full of anxiety, full of stress, full of, I have no idea what to do. But I always know what to do. I go and pray. To God be the glory that it is seen by others that your life is to God's glory. Hallelujah. Devotion Light Church, I don't know what this message means to you. Please stand up and pray and ask God that He will make this message very clear to you in your lives, that you alone, as you leave here, that you will glorify God where you have not glorified Him before, that you alone will show forth the glory of God in your lives, that you will do that which you need to start doing and stop doing the things you need to stop doing, that you will seek God in all the things that you do in your life, as you eat, as you drink, whatever you do, to the glory of God, that all that the Bible has commanded you to do, that you will be able to do it, that you will follow the word of God, that the word of God will be true in your life, and that you will see the glory of God. Hallelujah.
We believe you have been blessed by the teachings of God's word. For audio CDs, videos, books, and other information, please visit our website on www.devotionallightchurch.com. God bless you.